A reading from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with the first verse. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a person, let's call her Jenny for the sake of this sermon, it was an anonymous question, asked the question, this question. Why is it that I know a lot of people, but I don't really know anyone? Why is it that I know a lot of people, but I don't know anyone? One of the replies to the question suggested that there was something wrong with Jenny. Maybe nobody wants to know you, Jenny. But one person offered a different response. She said, "You're more socially perceptive than they are. You can remember faces well. They are wrapped in their own small worlds." In other words, they haven't really let you know them. When thinking about their friend set, many people would discover that they have lots of acquaintances, but very much less friends. And that they have lots of friends, but a lot fewer close friends. It's been my experience that most people have more of what we might call a casual friend than someone you would call a close friendship, or even relationships that you could call a deep friendship. Does that seem real to you? And it begs the question, how is it that we really, truly get to know someone in a deep way? How is it that we really get to know another person's heart? So that then we could say that this is my BFF. This is my best friend. This is my deep friend, my closest confidant. How is it that we get to know the heart of another human being? If you're wondering how this question is relevant to a Christmas Eve sermon, good. It has something to do with this word from the book of Hebrews. Listen to this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Did you hear that? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and in other ways. Does it not seem true to you that God speaking to us through the prophets in other ways must somehow indicate that God is attempting to allow us to know God's self? It seems reasonable to me that if we know anything about God at all, it is because God has chosen to reveal parts of God's self to us. And again, you might ask, but what does that have to do with Christmas Eve? Well, maybe these next verses from Hebrews 1 will help. Listen to this carefully. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Did you hear what I said? In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. In this beautiful story that we just read from the second chapter of Luke, we are told that Mary gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger. Mary's baby, that baby, wrapped in cloth and laid in a manger. That baby, laid in a feeding trough, is the same eternal Son that the book of Hebrews was talking about. The eternal Son who comes so that God might speak to us through Him. He is the Word made flesh to dwell among us. He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being. In the gospel that we read this morning, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." A son sent to speak to us. That son laid in the manger is God come to speak to us. Now, I started out talking about getting to know people. And I want you to hear a reminder from the writer of Hebrews that God has long been reaching out to us and seeking to reveal God's self to fallen humanity through the prophets in various ways. But tonight we celebrate that God has spoken directly to us, chosen to speak to us and allow us to know Him through His Son. The eternal Word who has become one of us. In the town of David, a Savior has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord, come to dwell and reveal to us the very heart of God. I teach a covenant group that has about 12 other clergy and myself in it. And we are working through a book on the Nicene Creed that we're going to use in a moment to profess our faith. And in that book, these words were contained for our reading for last Thursday. The eager mind can, to a degree, track down the truth about God, but at the end of the day, God has to disclose Himself. And the response to such a disclosure is necessarily belief rather than knowledge. If you ask me, the point of those first verses in the book of Hebrews is that God has chosen to disclose God's self to us through the coming of Christ, also known as the birth of Jesus. Lying in the manger is God's self-disclosure to the world. The book goes on to say, if I might propose a somewhat homely analogy, the play between reason and faith in regard to God is something like the play between reason and faith in regard to knowing another human being. To be sure, investigation, examination, research, and observation all play a role in this process. But finally, if one wishes to know the heart of another person, he has to wait until that other person reveals himself. And then he has to decide. He has to decide whether he believes what has been revealed. I began by sharing with you an internet question. Why is it that I know a lot of people, but I really don't know anyone? By Bishop Barron's logic, it's simply because the other person hasn't seen fit to disclose themselves to you, to truly reveal their hearts to you. So this Christmas, perhaps we should see Luke's story in a different way. Maybe we should read it. Maybe we should read it as a story of how God chose to come to us and disclose God's self to us. The babe lying in the manger is the exact representation of God's being. The baby that Mary wrapped and placed in a fetal feeding trough is the eternal God, the eternal Son who was sent to reveal God's heart to us. And why? Why would God do such a thing? So that we can have a true, deep, intimate friendship with God. Now, just as in the case of an acquaintance who chooses to reveal his heart to us, we have to decide whether or not we will believe what we have been told in this story. If we respond in faith, it can be the same for us as it was for Abraham. In chapter 2 of the book of James, you can read this. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Did you hear that? He believed what had been disclosed to him, and he became known as the friend of God. And when the baby in the manger was full grown, just before he would give himself up for us, he said to his disciples, I have called you friends, because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father, so that you know that this is no mere sentimental Hallmark Christmas-style musing that I'm giving to you. This is not the stuff of vapid dreams and clouds and bells. It's real. Listen to these words from Holy Scripture. In Titus 3, you can read this. At one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Oh, but listen to this next part. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. Listen to this again. The kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. Does that not sound to you like the baby lying in the manger is a revelation to you of the heart of God? And then from 1 John, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. As we read the stories of Jesus contained in the four Gospels, we are interacting with the revealed heart of God. this and every Christmas season, may we not forget that the sending and the birth of Jesus Christ is an act of Almighty God having disclosed Himself to our lowly selves, revealing God's very heart to us, so that we can respond in faith and live and to be sure that you are hearing me. What I'm asking you is, when you peer into the manger through your mind's eye, when you hear the stories of Jesus, when we allow ourselves to do that, we are seeing the very heart of God revealed to us. Which means that we have no excuse for being God's enemy, for saying that God is just our acquaintance. Because, dear, when God has invited you to be His BFF, His ride or die, His best friend, His close friend, and not an acquaintance, but one who knows Him intimately, through this baby lying in a manger. By that revealing, as we respond into belief to what we have been told in Luke's most beautiful story, we can have the peace of deep friendship with God. I promise you this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.